Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And just got done watching that Spurs-Thunder game, and NBA playoffs they're underway. They're starting to get good, some good series. And a lot of good things happening right now. And so just we'll start off. How was your weekend, and how have you been liking these games so far?
Oh, it's been getting pretty exciting, at least on the West side of things. The Spurs and Thunder are going at it again, of course. It's been a really awesome series. And, of course, you've also got the return of Steph Curry and everything that went along with that. it's been crazy the last couple of days. The East is not as exciting, but I'm sure we won't be short of exciting moments the rest of the way out.
Yeah, most definitely. But I know we've got quite a bit to talk about that. So here we go ahead and get our hot picks out of the way. Last week we picked Nationals at Cubs. Battle of two of the top teams in the NL. Cubs end up winning 8-6. We both had Cubs in that game. Cubs hit four homers, and they continue to roll. 24-6 on the year. Incredible start from the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, actually the White Sox aren't doing too bad themselves either. But definitely the Cubs look better than anybody else. Only six losses. Yeah, tough to say how you're going to beat them with that lineup, even with the loss of a guy like Kyle Schwarber. They're hitting the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer, no less.
Scherzer's kind of struggled a little bit this year, but the Cubs are remarkable. Just have to see. It's all going to come down to if they can continue to stay healthy. If they can, this team can go a long ways. So I'll have to watch and see. So our next pick here was Overeem versus Arlovsky. Alistar Overeem versus Andre Arlovsky on Sunday afternoon. It was on Fox Sports 1. I said Overeem by second round TKO. You had Arlovsky by third round TKO. Overeem actually got the TKO in the second round, so he cemented his name into the heavyweight championship talk, and we'll have to see where it goes from there. He's definitely deserving, but a couple guys at the top there. We'll see what happens with Travis Brown and Cain Velasquez here in a couple of months or so.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Sorry. That's Saturday. Cain Velasquez and Travis Brown are Saturday. This Saturday, UFC 198.
All right, awesome. at some point, we're going to have to talk about Conor McGregor and all that.
And Floyd Mayweather?
Yes, and, you know, just, well, I was a little more, that would be insane, but I was just thinking a little more along the lines of what is going on between Conor McGregor and Dana White.
Yeah, we definitely will. And the whole
because that seems to be the real issue.
Yeah. I think it's just Conor wanting some more money and thinking he's worth more. So, I don't know. A lot to talk about there, though. So, we can definitely schedule that in sometime.
Okay. All right. So, then
next up we had Heat Raptors, game two. I went Raptors, you went Heat. Raptors end up winning that game in Toronto to tie the series at 1-1 at the time. It's, of course, now 2-2 with game five tomorrow night. But the Raptors won that game 95-91. Really a bad night for DeMar DeRozan yet again, but Kyle Lowry stepped up in the fourth quarter and overtime period, ended up with 33 points. Kind of got out of his funk for that one game. But the big story of this game was the Raptors losing Valanciunas and the Heat losing Hassan Whiteside to injuries. So both big men are down for both teams. And I really think that Valanciunas' injury is going to end up hurting the Raptors more than it does the Heat, but we will have to see.
Yeah, no, this series has just been kind of ugly all the way around. Injuries don't help. They've been really close games. All of them have been decided by, I think it's 7 points or less. You've had three overtimes. There's, some drama there, but just really ugly, low scoring, you're not getting everything. Toronto's not getting everything they should have, like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. But you are getting these flashes of vintage Dwayne Wade, which is kind of cool. But I just can't see either of these teams giving Cleveland any kind of trouble.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a big reason why there's some kind of there's not too much into the series. I think just because a lot of people think Cleveland's just gonna roll over whatever team advances. I think that kind of takes some of the steam out of this series. But, no, good games last 5 minutes or so, all really close. Horrid shooting for Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan still. Throwing some really bad shooting slumps. And Toronto's going to need them to get out of it if they want a chance to win this series.
Yeah, no, they really should be the better team. They're probably the more talented team. It just doesn't make any sense. if it's just basically Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic left for the Heat, that might be enough if you're still not getting what you need from Toronto's scores.
Yeah, because Luol Deng, who started off really hot in the playoffs, has kind of disappeared in this series, and so has Joe Johnson. He's really been struggling all playoffs, but it's basically been down to Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade for the Heat right now. But those other guys could catch fire for the Heat, but so could the Raptors. So I think it's really going to come down to that, and I think the series definitely goes 7 games either way.
Yep, and I mean at this point, you don't know what's going on, at least not with home court advantage or anything. Both teams have won a road game, so it's all up in the air.
Yeah, most definitely. I still don't know who I think is going to end up winning that series, but I think that these close games are going to continue happening. And Cleveland's just going to sit at home and watch. So, yeah.
Yep, which we'll get to that, but I got some theories on LeBron.
All right, we will have to get to that. So next up, we had game three, Spurs and Thunder here. We both picked Thunder. The Spurs ended up taking that opening game in Oklahoma City. Things weren't looking too good for the Thunder at that point, but, of course, they came out won game four by 14, and they won tonight by 4 points. So, really good last three games after a 32-point blowout, or I should say last four games after a 32-point blowout by the Spurs. OKC's really locked down, and the Spurs can't stop Russell Westbrook. He's really been the story of the series so far. I know KD had the big game earlier, but Westbrook, he's really leading the way for the Thunder in his penetration and his will. I mean, he didn't give up on a couple plays tonight that were big key plays for the Thunder, like the no foul call at the end there, and also on a breakaway where the Spurs thought they had a 24-second violation. Everyone stopped, even the Thunder, but Westbrook didn't and had an easy layup at the other end. So I really like how the Thunder have came out, and also want to point out that I have said that the Thunder would beat the Spurs all season. So it's a little brag.
All right. Well, no, yeah. Like you said, Russell Westbrook's just been playing great. I mean, after game three, he'd scored 31 points, but he did it on 31 shots. And he said after the game that he needed to find guys to get open shots and make better decisions and you know, distribute better. And came back in game four and got 15 assists and only 14 points. But, yeah, no, exactly. But it was Kevin Durant had the hot hand. He was making everything, ended up tying his career high for points in a playoff game. Yeah, they really bounced back nice after that blowout in game one. And yeah, tonight they once again they came back from a late deficit and were able to hold on at the end. There were some shaky plays there towards the end, a couple turnovers that probably definitely should have been avoided. But no, they were able to hold on. I don't know why Tony Parker ended up taking so many shots there towards the end, but. But, yeah, no, the Thunder definitely.
The Thunder
had, go ahead.
I want to give a shout-out to Andre Roberson because he had good ball denial to Kawhi Leonard there at the end a couple times. I know you can get him the ball, but he had really good ball denial. He's actually guarded Kawhi pretty well all series. Kawhi's really good. But there's a couple things that – I think the reason why the Thunder have an advantage in this series, kind of thought it all year, but I mean, you have to wait and see how it plays out because the Spurs did win 67 games, pretty much been unstoppable at home. Thunder have now won two in a row in San Antonio. But I think the biggest and most obvious reason is KD and Russell Westbrook, two of the top five players in the NBA. Anytime you can throw that out there, you have a chance to win any game or any series. But I also think that their size with Kanter and Adams down low, a couple guys who are really underrated, they call themselves the Stash Brothers. Of course, they have ridiculous mustaches. So I think they've been a huge part of the series. Number one rebounding team in the league all year, and they've been out-rebounding the Spurs all series. And I also think that the Spurs can't keep up with the Thunder athleticism. The Spurs are looking old in the series. Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, all have looked really old in the series. I think they combined for under 20 points tonight, which is not going to get it done. Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge aren't going to beat KD and Russell Westbrook if they have to play 2-on-2. That's pretty much some of the big reasons why I think that OKC is controlling the series right now.
Yeah, no. I agree with what you're saying. Possibly Tim Duncan's last game in San Antonio, believe it or not, tonight. But no, yeah, he hasn't looked good at all. They probably shouldn't be playing him or shouldn't have played him as much as they did tonight. And yeah, it's like the end of tonight's game, Tony Parker just did not look good. Everything was short and offline. And when he went to the line, he should have missed that first free throw and then back iron the second one. I don't know. The Spurs just don't look right.
He had no legs. I mean, can you imagine trying to keep up with Russell Westbrook all game for 48 minutes and trying to take some last minute shots? Definitely don't like him in that situation, especially a 34-year-old. Just can't keep up with Westbrook anymore. And also Kawhi Leonard, it's a lot to ask for him to guard either Westbrook or Durant every time down the court and then to get 30, which is what they need from him because their offense is not clicking right now. They need 30 from him, and that's a lot of energy ask from him to battle as hard as he does on the defensive end and to score like he needs to. Danny Green did have a really good night. I think he was 5 for 7 from three. But, yeah, they need other guys to step up or they're going to be done in six.
Hey.
Hey.
Sorry about that. Don't know what happened.
Did you, nothing. I was just talking about the Thunder and Spurs.
Cool. All right.
All right. So, let's go here, to our upset pick. You actually didn't have one because you didn't pick one. So, I just.
Yeah, no, That's right. I dropped the ball on that. And if you want to give me the 0 for 1, I will take that graciously.
I might do that just so it stays even. But
right.
But, yeah, so I picked the Blazers over the Warriors in Game 3, first game in Portland, and they pulled through, got the big game. I really couldn't miss any shots. Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, and C.J. McCollum were really just – it was their night, and they came out, and they really battled the Warriors really hard all series. They're definitely not going to roll over. I don't think they're going to roll over in Game 5, whether Draymond Green thinks they will or not. I don't think he does. A big night from him and Thompson on that night. They combined for 72 points, but it wasn't enough. McCollum and Lillard had 62. Also, Al-Farouq Aminu had 23 on 8 of 9 shots. So, big game for the Trailblazers. And, of course, we know what happened in Game 4, which we will talk about in a second.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't think that the Blazers are much are going to hang around much longer, especially after what happened last night.
No, they're done in 5.
Definitely.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
so I guess we should just get to
but
it then.
By 20 points.
I don't know. I was pretty skeptical when I heard that he was gonna play, and yeah, sure enough, I thought and I even said to you it'd be cool if he came in late and scored like 15 points or something to kind of seal the win or something in the fourth. But no, he just broke a record for points in overtime.
That was my hot take. He would play in Game 4. He did. He came off the bench. First person since Nick Van Exel to score 40 points in a playoff game off the bench. So there's a little stat for you. He continues to break NBA records and making history. Really looked awful for the first three quarters or so. Looked like a bad decision for him to play.
Missed his first 10 threes.
No, it was 9. I think he missed his first 9.
I'm pretty sure it was 10.
I don't know. Either way, he missed a lot, and then he made his 11th. He shimmied down the court, and Steph Curry was back. Little did we know that he'd go on to score 27 points in the fourth, and overtime combined 17 in overtime to break NBA record by Gilbert Arenas of 16 points in overtime in regular season or playoff history.
Yeah, and then followed it up with getting his second straight MVP award.
Yes, he did. And
it was the first unanimous MVP ever.
Yep, first unanimous ever. I think he's one of three guards to ever win multiple or back-to-back MVPs with Steve Nash and Magic Johnson. Who would have thought? 6'2", 6'3", 160 pound point guard from Davidson would be back to back MVPs and possibly back-to-back world champions.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have told me that he'd have been on, that he was going to win some rings someday, I could have believed that. He'd been like, okay, yeah, he's going to be like the three guy on some championship team. Like, that's super easy to believe, but yeah, to just go to where he is, to where he's easily and undisputedly the best player in the NBA, broke the record for threes three times in 4 years. It seemed, yeah, even last night, comes back after being gone for what, two or more weeks, and just, yeah, just continues to amaze.
Yeah, there's really not any words that can describe him, what he's done this year, but it's been fun to watch. He's going to have a tough series in the Western Conference Finals, and I think Cleveland's going to give him a nice run, but things are looking good for the Warriors yet again. Thought maybe another team would have a chance if he came back and took time like any normal NBA player would, but he shook that rust off in the middle of the game, so just remarkable.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, and I guess there's only one more question I have, at least about Steph, and that is, should it be him that should be the star of Space Jam 2?
Ooh.
Considering,
I think it'd be more fun. just what they could do with the shot and stuff in the movie, but
instead of, yeah, the big scene would be, instead of stretching his arm to make a dunk, he'd have to like shoot a ball from like one planet to another planet.
Pretty much, yeah. I think it'd be more fun, but LeBron deserves it. I mean, he's the best player I've watched growing up. Him and Kobe, so either one of them are deserving, but who knows, in maybe 5-6 years they have Space Jam 3 with Steph Curry.
Yeah, yeah. If Space Jam 2 makes money, then it's going to be Space Jam 3, and yeah, it's going to be like Steph versus LeBron.
What if they just make a movie instead of Like Mike, it's Like Steph? No?
All right. Oh, there it is. There we go. Are there any young, aspiring rappers out there?
I'll get back to you on that one.
All right.
No. So, yeah, I guess we should talk a little bit about the Cavs. I mean, they have started 8-0 in these playoffs.
Right.
Looked pretty dang good. So, pretty much they played the Pistons and the Hawks, but they came in, done their job, and are sitting at home waiting for their Eastern Conference final matchup here. They've been hitting threes. I think they hit 77 in the series against the Hawks, which is the most ever. They, of course, broke the single-game record with 25 in Game 2, and they've just looked they've looked really good. And looks like LeBron has finally trusted Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love looks like he's finally found his spot on the team.
Yeah, that's a strange thing with the threes. Kevin Love's had been I think he shot better from three than he did from two. He definitely looked more comfortable outside the three-point line. I think in Game 4, the only two-point basket he made was because his toe was on the line. But yeah, no, he's definitely hit a groove. It seems like everybody has in Game 4. Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron all scored over 20 points. They seem to be focused on the task at hand: get to the finals, win a championship. And now that they're all healthy, they seem to be clicking. And also, now that you could say LeBron is the coach, everything seems to be kind of working out, or at least headed in the same direction. So yeah, they could be dangerous in the finals, especially if they manage to get one more quick series in the conference finals, and get rested up, because the more rested LeBron is, the more dangerous he should be.
Yeah, most definitely. And in that game where they hit 25 threes, they had 10 different players hit a three. Dante Jones even hit a three. So I guess the saying's true. If other people see it go in, the basket just becomes huge. So everyone was hitting that night. And, yeah, the Cavs look really dangerous. I also think Stephen A. Smith actually made a really good point this morning. He said that it's going to be interesting to see if Warriors and Cavs do rematch, whose chip on their shoulders is going to be bigger, because LeBron, of course, has the chip of not wanting to lose another finals and be 2-7. And the Warriors have a chip on their shoulder of, we want to show that our championship last year wasn't a fluke, of course, because they kind of got through some serious injuries, some players. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if that rematch happens, but we still have a long way to go until then. It's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. It's really going to be
my favorite time of the year.
Right. No, I mean, we're already getting a great series in Thunder Spurs, and no matter how that shakes out, it's going to be another good one. And the series after that for the Western Conference should be a good one. But, yeah, you expect the Warriors to come out of that. But, yeah, it's always fun. It's always good to see high-level basketball by the best players going at it.
Yeah, most definitely. And I don't know. I'm probably going to stay on that Thunder Island, but it's going to be really tough to beat the Warriors. So, a lot to see. There's also a thing called baseball going on right now. I haven't really talked about it in a while.
Is there?
Weird. There is. So, there's a couple things I want to talk about. I'm sure there's some things you wanted to talk about. So, what do you want to talk about first?
I guess we can talk about Bryce Harper. He's kind of done a couple things lately. He definitely started walking more. I think he had a game or two games, I believe, or whatever it was, where he didn't register an at bat. But, yeah, drew a bunch of walks. Anyway, people are starting to make Barry Bonds comparisons. And although, you know, obviously he's not there yet. I mean, Barry Bonds had already been one of the game's best hitters for years. And, of course, he turned to strictly hitting home runs and just ended up being intentionally walked all the time. He broke all those records for intentional walks and just walks in general, guys pitching around him, not pitching to him. But he got so good at picking out his pitches, he'd still manage to get hit, still hit home runs. But I just think it's crazy that we're already starting to, or at least teams are already starting to treat Bryce Harper that way when he's still only 23 years old. It seems like a long time ago now. We're just hearing about him coming out in this prodigy he's supposed to be, and he's seeming to pay off, and that's just amazing.
Yeah, most definitely. He's been really good this year. I think he's only hitting about .250 though. I know he has 10 homers, but he's definitely coming into his own. I don't know if it showed a chink in the Nationals' armor or the Cubs' armor by walking him six times. Of course, hitting him with the pitch, I think they would have walked him in that at-bat, too. I don't see why they wouldn't have. I don't know if that just shows that the Cubs, their pitching they don't trust their pitching to get through a guy like Bryce Harper, or if it shows a chink in the Nationals of, hey, you don't have anyone that can protect him. We're not going to let Bryce Harper beat us. So, kind of interesting.
Yeah. That is definitely something to think about, because you've got Zimmerman behind him, and he hasn't been performing how you would expect to a player of his caliber. And yeah, the guy that is hitting behind Bryce Harper, you need somebody who can punish teams for walking him.
Yeah, most definitely. And I know you said he's also been in the news for a couple of things. Of course, I talked about his antics last night, where he got ejected, and Clint Robinson, very next batter, comes up, hits the walk-off home run. Bryce Harper runs out, which I don't know if it's against the rules if he was even allowed to come back on the field if he was ejected. But, of course, he had time to come back out of the locker room, came out, and first thing he does is yells some obscenities to the umpire that ejected him. He thought some bad calls were being called, which they might have been, but kind of immature, which has kind of been Bryce Harper's that one downfall in his career so far. I don't know if it's immaturity or if it's just his fiery nature and the way he plays the game. I didn't really have too much of a problem with it. I do think he'll be suspended for a game, but I like when players show emotion. Maybe he showed a little too much in that instance, but I definitely don't want him to change.
I mean, yeah, what he did isn't necessary. But yeah, that's what I'm kind of confused about is he wasn't batting when he got ejected, right? He was on the bench.
Yes, he was on the bench.
That's kind of like, come on, that's where you're thinking maybe you're not in the right. I mean, you're not batting. I could understand getting heated and in that bat.
He had been talking
and getting argued.
He'd been talking all night on his flight appearances. He got struck out once, but I don't know. Yeah, see it quite a bit. Umpires are different than referees, that's for sure. They kind of think that they are the boss and the head of it out there, and I guess they kind of are.
That's the other thing. it's definitely pretty defiant to go back out on the field and then to scream at the man. If you want to go back out on the field, I don't have a problem with that, I guess. If it's against the rules, though, then, probably shouldn't be doing it. But, no, yeah, definitely unnecessary to yell at the umpire. You've already yelled at him. You've already made your point. You're unhappy with him. No need to put that exclamation point on it. But, no, I mean, if he's to be believed that he's just this great competitor who's still, kind of a kid, and doesn't always handle situations best, but definitely isn't a bad person. I'm not gonna rake him over the coals for it, I guess.
Yeah, we'll kind of have to see if his teammates kind of grow tired of it, because he does have possibility to be suspended a game. It's going to hurt his team. I know it's only a game at 162. But it really wasn't necessary for him to do it. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but he didn't need to do that, I guess. So, but anyway, the Nationals were also in the news yesterday for re-signing Steven Strasburg. And I know we were kind of talking about it yesterday. You had thought that the Nationals kind of got a steal there. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I was thinking it was an okay contract. He's one of the top 7 pitchers paid now. Don't really see how you can constitute that. He had a lot of injury problems. I don't think he's going to be able to stay healthy for the majority of his career, the way he throws the ball. And I know there's a 3rd and 4th year option, so the Nationals do have choices there. But I looked at it, and he gets paid just as much as King Felix. And I know King Felix took a pay cut to stay with the Mariners, but kind of a pay cut. But that's not
yeah. I mean, you could go to that, but then you could, and also just in inflation of the market, and it's just the price of pitching. I mean, and the Nationals aren't afraid to aren't afraid to pay guys. That's the other thing. I mean, they brought in Max Scherzer and signed him to his deal. I don't know. I don't hate it. Might as well, if you've got this power arm who hasn't been, maybe hasn't been, you know, the number one that you, the ace that you assumed you were going to develop, but he's definitely a number two, if not a number three. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with paying that guy good money in today's MLB, where you need at least consistent starting pitching.
Yeah, I can see that. But as much as I'd love to talk about MLB contracts, we are kind of running out of time here. I figured we could talk a little bit here, a couple minutes about the Royals. Should we be worried? Lost tonight, even though Lorenzo Cain had a nice effort, 3 home runs. Should Kansas City fans be a little worried, or do you think this is just kind of beginning season lulls here? And it still is May.
I think if they get through the if they lose the series to the Braves, then it's time to be concerned. It seems like these last 4 or 5 days, the offense is starting to come out of it. Guys are starting to get hit. Lorenzo Cain hadn't been hitting anything at all. Then he slowly started getting singles, and then tonight, I mean, he was probably aided by Yankee Stadium a little bit on at least one of those home runs, but he's starting to make good contact and drive the ball again. Eric Hosmer's been fine hitting. He's been the best hitter average wise on the team. Hopefully you get Mike Moustakas back and he hasn't cooled down, but yeah, no, the offense I think will be okay. They just need to get everybody back on the same page, because it's just kind of been just a slump all around. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. Tonight it was every time they got the lead, they gave it right back up. It hasn't been the best start for them, but they've definitely shown to get hotter as the season goes on. So I'm not gonna panic quite yet, but you could start to be worried if things go bad in the Atlanta series.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. They need to get it together soon, though, because the White Sox don't look like they're going anywhere.
Right, which that was the whole talking about with the Drake LaRoche incident, that it was either going to destroy or galvanize their clubhouse. I mean, I don't know if you can credit it to that, but it definitely doesn't seem to have had a negative effect.
Yeah, definitely not. I guess we should get into our hot picks here, since we only got about 6 minutes left here. First game up here, we have tomorrow night. I think all of our games, except for one, are tomorrow night. So tomorrow night we have Tigers at Nationals. Tigers kind of struggling right now. Losers is 7 straight, 14-17 on the year. Nationals, of course, top in the NL East at 20-12. We have the reason why we picked this game is because Jordan Zimmermann has been a lone bright spot for the Tigers so far. He's 5-1, 1.10 ERA. Of course, his first year with the Tigers after leaving the Nationals, and he'll take on Max Scherzer, who has a 4.6 ERA. Who do you like in this game?
You know what? I was going to go Nats, but I think I'm going to change my mind. Tigers are going to win. Miggy's going to do something.
All right, you're going to say it's on Miggy. All right. I think if the Tigers do win this, it's going to be Jordan Zimmermann shutting the Nationals down. And who knows, this could be the game.
Well, that was implied.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows, Bryce Harper could be suspended for this game. But I'm still going Nationals about 3-1 here. And, give me Washington.
All right. I guess next up, do you want to go NBA or our wild card game?
let's go NBA.
All right. I guess we'll go Raptors Heat. Who you got?
All right. Game five, of course, Wednesday, tomorrow night. Win this series in seven, but I think Toronto wins this game in Toronto. And the Heat finish them off in Toronto in game seven. But I think the Raptors take a 3-2 lead. And I think DeMar DeRozan has a sneaky good game. I think he gets about 25 points and shoots decent.
Yeah. I'm also picking Toronto. Yeah, I think that they're going to get it together for one more game. And then the Heat will win game six. And then I'd be a complete toss-up for me for game seven.
All right. I guess it would be complete by our next show, but we'll have to see how that goes. Our other NBA game, of course, it's going to be Spurs at Thunder Thursday night, game six. OKC with the chance to close it out in OKC, and I think they do. I think they finish off the Spurs in six. I just think that the Spurs are done, and they can they can't keep up with Russell Westbrook, and KD and Russell Westbrook can smell the Western Conference Finals, and they're going to finish it off. So, give me the Thunder.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Thunder. I think that you'll get a surprising performance out of Deion Waiters.
He has played really well all season.
No, you'll get it. You'll get something extra. Get something extra in this game.
He's been guarding. He's been going to the hole. He's not relying on his jumper. Going to the hole, he's been able to hit his jumper. So he's been playing really well. A guy who
maybe Billy Donovan is the difference.
Maybe no. But I think Waiters. I definitely like how he's been playing. You can definitely tell he wants this. And of course, it's a contract year. So
Well,
all right. So our wild card game here, game seven. First time ever on Hot Takes, the St. Louis Blues and the Dallas Stars, some NHL hockey playoffs. Don't know too much about hockey. I do know the Blues tend to choke a lot, so give me the Dallas Stars.
You know what? Also give me the Dallas Stars. I don't trust the Blues.
Yeah, me either. I know a little bit about hockey, Blues.
All right.
Do games like this. So, all right.
Got an upset?
I do. I think that the Marlins take 3 out of 4 from the Nats this weekend. They have a doubleheader on Saturday, so 3 out of 4.
All right. I got the Padres over the Cubs tomorrow.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Upset.
Yep.
All right.
Hot take.
So, I got a hot take. During this week, I think Giancarlo overtakes the home run lead. He currently has 10, and the leader has 12. So, I think by this time next week, he will be first in home runs.
All right. Very plausible.
I don't know how much of a hot take that is, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think that I'm pretty sure the Cavs are going to sweep the Western Conference Finals. So.
The Western Conference Finals? That's impressive.
The Western Conference Finals. They're actually going to switch sides in the middle. It's going to be a good time. It'll probably be the Eastern Conference Finals against one of Toronto or Miami. It might be a more
good call.
People would probably freak out more about a Miami Cleveland series, but either way, I think it's over in 5 games or less.
Yeah, I definitely think it's quick. I just want to see that matchup just for the greedy fan in me. So, let's see.
Yeah. Might as well.
All right.
If you're going to get.
All right. Yeah.
So, we got it in there. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. By the way, I went 4-1. You went 1-4 this week on your picks. So, I'm only 4 games back in our picks with not many shows left.
Coming back.